I love all the crew of kids. Amazing. Well, earlier, when Pastor Mark greeted you, he said he wanted to be mostly honest with you. I'm not sure how you interpreted that, but I'm going to endeavor to be perfectly honest with you this morning as I bring God's word to you today. May the Lord help us all as we endeavor to build God's church, build Christ's church and God's kingdom together, right? We need his sovereignty. We need his strength. We need his courage. We need his grace. And we need his joy. And we need to have understanding. And this morning, as we get into God's word and continue on with the theme of the kingdom of heaven, this might seem a little bit mechanical in some senses. Instruction this morning, just reminder and encouragement about the kingdom and that it is a kingdom and there is a king. And and I'm glad that this grade school kids are here this morning. And I'm just going to encourage you grade school kids because, really, honestly, you kids, you catch on to things probably faster than your grandmas and grandpas and moms and dads do. So they'll probably ask you questions after the service about what this really was all about today. So be a coach for your moms and dads. I'm really glad you kids are here today because you're awesome and you catch on so quick. I think kids sometimes know a little bit more about kings and kingdoms than we as adults do because we forget. We're so immersed in our political systems in our world today that we forget what a king is and we forget what a kingdom is. But kids' stories are full of castles and queens and kings and all of those kinds of things. And so maybe they catch on to these things quicker or retain them. And hopefully they will retain them for a long time. But Jesus said at one point that my kingdom is not of this world. Not of this world. In John chapter 18, Jesus had some dialogue with Pontius Pilate before he was taken out and crucified. And, there are a couple of telling statements in there relative to a king and a kingdom. Then Pilate went back into his headquarters and called for Jesus to be brought to him. "Are you the king of the Jews?" he asked him. And I love Jesus' response. It was an honest response. I think he was mostly honest in his response. Anyways, he said, "Is this your own question, or did others tell you about me?" And as we say this morning that Jesus is our king, we serve a risen king, and we dwell within a kingdom, is it because he has made it clear to us by his Spirit and we have been growing in our understanding of what it means to serve a sovereign king? I trust that that's true. And we probably all need to continue to grow in our understanding of these things. "Am I a Jew?" Pilate retorted. "Your own people and their leading priests brought you to me for trial. Why? What have you done?" And then Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. If it were, my followers would fight to keep me from being handed over to the Jewish leaders. But my kingdom is not of this world." You know, it might seem confusing at times because in another part of Scripture, it says that the violent or the forceful take the kingdom by force. Now, you have to interpret that, and I'm not going to get into that this morning. But here Jesus says, "My kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. My followers, if it were, my followers would fight to keep me from being handed over to the Jewish leaders. But my kingdom is not of this world." That right away tells us that how he does things and how his kingdom is represented, how his kingdom comes and how his kingdom is upheld and disseminated throughout this world is different, vastly different from kingdoms in this world. And it's not just ancient history that we have to look at. This is right smack dab in front of us in these days. When countries around the world are invading other countries to take territory, either for the first time or to take it back and make it part of their territory, they're taking it by force. They're going in with armies, and people die. And then they want to do land grabs and these kinds of things. That's not the way of our King Jesus. We live in the country Canada. It's a sovereign nation, so to speak. And we desire for this sovereign nation to be a place where godly values are upheld. And we know that throughout our country and throughout our province, there are certain elements that are seemingly taking away from the dignity of parenting, sexual decency, and all of these kinds of things. But how do we counter these things? Do we take it by force? Do we get violent? Do we threaten? Do we utter threats to those who are in charge? Or is there another way? Are there other means, godly means? And those are topics that you can discuss around the dinner table today or in your life group later on. The kingdom of heaven. One of the things that Jesus says is that, we learn from this that Jesus was anointed king not by human endeavor, but from heaven. My kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not of this earth. It's not of the substance of human imaginations and machinations. Jesus was anointed king, but not by human endeavor, but from heaven. God the Father appointed his son Jesus to come to this world to represent the values of heaven, to reclaim his kingdom purposes here on this earth, and to bring the Holy Spirit and to see the Holy Spirit take residence in the lives of followers of King Jesus. His kingdom is not of this world, yet his kingdom governs over this world in otherworldly and transformative ways. We don't have time this morning, but I know in one of the devotionals I had put some details in there for you to think about the transformative power of the kingdom of heaven. In one of the parables, Jesus said, and in a number of the parables, Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like, and then he gives really understandable pictures for us to grab onto, because we need that. Our minds don't comprehend everything that God is and does. And so he wants us to understand, so he gives us simple pictures. One of those pictures is a picture of a woman who puts leaven in a loaf of bread. And the leaven goes throughout the whole loaf of bread and consumes the loaf of bread. And it changes everything about that bread. Instead of being flat and hard and dry and tasteless, it suddenly now has texture. It has buoyancy. It looks interesting. It feels interesting in your mouth, and it tastes amazing. The leaven goes throughout the whole loaf of bread and changes the texture and everything about that loaf of bread. And that's what the kingdom of heaven is to be on earth. The transformation, the transformative power of God's kingdom has been seen, and somehow I think we've forgotten what the kingdom of heaven has really done in our world. If you think back to the history of Canada, in the early part of Canada, public schools early on were not a thing. There was education for the higher classes that could afford education to send their children to expensive schools. But there were believers in Jesus, followers of the King, who noticed this and said, you know something? The masses aren't getting education. What is our country going to look like if we continue in this uneducated state? Let's get together as the body of Christ and let's make some schools. Let's provide education for everybody, regardless whether they can afford it or not. Let's put together public education. The origins of the first schools in our nation were because believers believed in the transformative power of the kingdom of heaven and made something happen for the benefit of everybody. Today we have public schools all over the place. It's the same with hospitals in our country. The earliest hospitals, most of them in our nation, were started by churches. Methodist hospitals, Catholic hospitals. God's people saw the need for good health care for those who couldn't afford private doctors, and so they made public health care available. These were Christian ideas that came from the mind and the heart of God, the Father, the King, that represents his kingdom. Good things available for the masses, for the public. But we sometimes forget, and we get lazy. And then things come in, and ideologies come in, and they take over. And pretty soon we're in a situation where we're complaining about how things are and how can that change. And I'm getting way ahead of myself, and this is not in my notes, so I better get back to where I was going to go this morning. But God's kingdom is to be transformative at every level, at every level. The entertainment industry, education, science, and technology. And I was reading something the other day that said that one of the issues with public education is that there's a huge vacuum as far as Christians, solid believers, being involved in the writing of curriculum today. What seems to have happened in so many of these spheres of society is that people have noticed that there's an ungodliness flooding in, and so Christians have just retreated because it's pretty hot in there. And yet, what are we supposed to be doing as believers? We're supposed to be going right into those spheres of influence. We have to be involved at every level of society, in government, in the healthcare system, in the education system, the entertainment system, all of these things. If we're not happy with the dearth of godly material in our world today, then the answer is we need to get involved and be there and make a difference. And sometimes that takes years for you to be involved in having influence in a particular element of society. But that may be what God is calling some of you to do. And ultimately, all of us, in whatever areas of influence that God gives to us. Now, let me get back to where I should be in my notes. Jesus came to restore the kingdom of the government of heaven here on earth. He lived it out perfectly. So all we need to do is to look to Jesus to get our clues about what the kingdom of heaven is really all about and how we are to interact and relate with God's kingdom here on earth. However, our Western democratic individualistic mindset can make it really difficult for us to understand the concepts of king and kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is not a democracy. In heaven, God does not hold meetings and then ask for the opinions of the angels as to what direction they should be going. And then they take a vote, and the majority vote rules. There's nothing in Scripture that says that they do that. I remember a cartoon quite a number of years ago. It really made me chuckle, but it also made me shudder, because this is often the case. It was a group of people around a boardroom. It was a church meeting, and they were obviously deliberating about some issue, and one individual piped up and said, "Yes, but our bylaws state that the will of God cannot be overturned without a 2/3 majority." So, unfortunately, sometimes that's how we run our church business. Not here. Yesterday morning, we had a church business meeting, a board meeting, and I appreciate Pastor Ken, his first comments when he was giving his report, how he reiterated his appreciation for all of our board members, all of the women and men who have served. Especially in the coming together of these two churches, it has been intense at times as far as all of the details that have needed to be done. There has been unity, cohesion, appreciation for one another, love for one another. Everybody's gifted differently, and not everybody thinks all the same all the time. And there has been no sharp disagreement, although there can be disagreements. But this board has worked extremely well together. And so the comment, Pastor Ken, was so apt, that we are blessed in this congregation with a board that has worked so very well. And as we go to our annual meeting, some of those board members now will be taking time off, and there will be a new board member coming on, and so on and so forth. So please pray as we go through the leadership processes of this church that God gives continually wise counsel for all of us as we give leadership to the body of Christ at River Valley Community Church. None of us is claiming to be perfect. Some of us claim to be mostly honest, but I can't help it, Pastor Mark. But we'll continue to move along. Okay. So sometimes our Western mindset blocks our view of what a kingship is really all about and what the kingdom is really all about. Because we want to all weigh in, and we want to have influence. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to have influence, but it's how and when, in what manner, and so forth. Helpful to our understanding is to consider the role and influence of an ambassador in our political realm today. An ambassador, according to Webster, is the highest-ranking person who represents his or her own government while living in another country. And an embassy is often the place, not always, but often it's the residence as well, of an ambassador. But an embassy is regarded as sovereign territory of the country the ambassador represents. So it was a year and... it was just about 2 years ago that Terry and I were down in Washington, D.C. My sister gave us a great tour of the whole Washington Mall area, and where Congress meets, and the White House, and all of these places. It's magnificent. You ever have opportunity, go and observe and watch and learn. But there's the Canadian Embassy there. And it was fairly obvious because there were bright flags flying all over the building. Beautiful building. We didn't take time to go in. But if we would have gone in to the Canadian Embassy in Washington, D.C., literally, if you would go there, you would be on Canadian soil. Literally. Because an embassy is considered territory that belongs to the foreign country. So, literally, all the laws and privileges of the ambassador's home country are in play within the embassy. Even though you're in a foreign country, if you are in your country's embassy there, that embassy runs by the laws of Canada and by the benefits of Canada, the privileges of Canada. When in the presence of an ambassador, you are in the presence of the government he or she represents. We're meeting more than just a person. We are meeting a nation and all that that nation represents. And here's something else. An ambassador communicates only the position of his or her government. When it comes to deliberations between that ambassador and the local country, the ambassador doesn't sit down and say, well, you know, I know that the policies of Canada say this, but I really feel that we should look at it this way. I'm going to share some opinions with you about my gut feeling. I'm just going to tuck the Canadian perspective aside. You know something? If an ambassador would do that and it would be discovered, that ambassador would be recalled immediately and replaced because they are now no longer representing clearly the interests of their home country. Someone said that, really, personal opinion does not matter with an ambassador. That ambassador may have strong feelings and opinions about a particular matter, but he or she is allowed to only represent the home country's policies and ideas. I like what Miles Monroe said in his very excellent book, Rediscovering the Kingdom. It's not our job to decide what we believe and think as believers. Our job is to learn and discern what our King thinks and then come into agreement with him. And it's the same thing with a country, with the sovereign nation and their ambassadors. They need to study policy books. They need to be in constant communication with their home country's leaders, like probably on a daily basis throughout the day. They're communicating back and forth, texting, emailing, on the phone, finding out what needs to be held in their mind so that they can be shared with the other leaders of other countries. It's the same way with us as believers. We need to be fully conversant with what the scriptures teach us. And we've gotten really fuzzy in the church in North America in these days. Really fuzzy. What do we really believe about important issues in our day? And how do we talk about these issues with the world around us? If our King says that this is appropriate, but we're not aware of what our King says, we are going to come up with popular opinion or our own individualistic opinions and then begin to live a life apart from the directives of our King, from what is given to us in the Word of God. And we're going to move further and further and further away so that we no longer really represent the kingdom of heaven here on earth. We represent our own ideas, our own opinions, the ideologies of anything and everything that we think sounds good to our ears. We begin to adopt these things and live them out. Jesus fully represented the kingdom of heaven on earth. Let's turn to for a moment to Colossians. Colossians 2, 8 and following. Colossians 2, 8 and following. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. Christ is our head, and by his Spirit, he dwells within us. But he perfectly represents God the Father. He perfectly represented in the flesh God the Father and the values of God's kingdom here while he was on earth. Now his Spirit dwells within us, and we ought to be able to pick up very quickly on the values of the kingdom as we read the Word of God, as the Holy Spirit quickens our understanding, our conscience, and our mind so that we can take this in and live it out well. And there are so many empty philosophies and high-sounding, as my translation puts it here, nonsense, that come from human thinking and the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. I don't know about you, but the more I watch news, now we don't have cable, so I don't sit down and watch whole news broadcasts, but I'll go on the internet and look up different news items, and once in a while I'll read the paper. And it seems like every time I do, there's an escalation that seems more and more visible between a clash between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of God. It just seems to be more and more and more evident. You know, elections have proved this out over these last few months. And in our own country, this is proving itself out more and more and more. It's really, you know, one cannot be conversant with the things going on in our world today and with what the scripture teaches without coming to the conclusion that things are escalating. We are rapidly, I believe, rapidly, now this is my opinion, but rapidly moving towards end time scenarios and whatever that looks like. And so the call for us today is to, in some cases, repent. We sang a song this morning about, Lord, I'm sorry for the thing that I've made worship. I've made it about me, but it's all about you. I repent of that. And I think as we consider the things about God's kingdom, wow, right across the board, so often life has become about me instead of God. We want to represent our own interests. We sort of want a little bit of help from God's kingdom because there's benefits there. But sometimes we struggle with fully engaging in obedience to what God has already shown us to be true and decent and values from his kingdom that are more and more evidently at war with the kingdom of darkness in our world. So Jesus fully represented the kingdom of heaven on earth. Colossians bears that out. So does Hebrews 1, verse 3. Hebrews 1, verse 3. Turn to that for just a second. The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God, and he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. When he had cleansed us from our sins, he sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. Jesus the Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. As God's ambassador in the flesh, he didn't take his own opinions up. He didn't deliberate with God and second guess his Father in heaven at all. He simply said, yes, Lord, yes, Father, yes, Father. And how do we know this? In John chapter 5, John chapter 5, verses 19 to 30. I'm not sure I'll read all of those. John chapter 5, 19 to 30. Jesus explained, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything he is doing. In fact, the Father will show him how to do even greater works than healing this man. Then you will truly be astonished. For just as the Father gives life to those he raises from the dead, so the Son gives life to anyone he wants. In addition, the Father judges no one. Instead, he has given the Son absolute authority to judge, so that everyone will honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Anyone who does not honor the Son is certainly not honoring the Father who sent him. We see that time and time again, Jesus would go to prayer. And he would get downloads from the Heavenly Father. He would talk about what's going on in the world. And his Heavenly Father would give him perspective and show him and tell him what must be done. The values of the kingdom being displayed on the earth. And it had to do with every imaginable thing. The political realm. Food, clothing, shelter, relationships. It had to do with how we can live successfully in this world, be provided for, and be a blessing to others. But the key always is, what does the Word of God say? What does the Spirit of God say to me moment by moment? That's how Jesus lived. And so that's how we too must live. As followers of Jesus, we are ambassadors of his kingdom. I've mentioned that already. And if you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 18. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. That's what Jesus did when he came to this earth. He came to reconcile people back to God. He came to reverse the curse, as we heard last Sunday with Pastor Mark. He was telling the entire truth at that time. And the curse has been reversed. I love you, brother. And I'm in for it, right? For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them, and he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. Just as Jesus came to reconcile people back to God, we have been given that same ministry of reconciliation. That means we have to be with people. With whatever gifts and abilities that God has given to us, we put that together and we say, God, how can I reconcile someone to you, to the Father today? How can I do that today? How do you want to use me in my workplace today? How do you want to use me in school today? How can I be a friend maker for you, God, today where you have placed me? Lord, I'm going to be going to the gym later on today. How can I be reconciling people to you today through my activity at the gym? Father, I'm going to be investing a lot of money today. How can you use this to reconcile people to your ways today? Father, I've been asked to organize a birthday party for some little kids. Help me to use this as an opportunity to reconcile those folks to you today, to put them in right relationship. And a whole lot of that is simply displaying the character of God before people. Being patient and kind and gentle. Being truthful and honest in all of our ways. Caring for one another and so forth. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. God is making his appeal through us. That's mind-boggling. Being an ambassador of a country is small potatoes when compared to the opportunity and the task that we've been given to speak on behalf of God to people within our influence. I mean, no, it's a pretty big thing to be an ambassador of a nation. Truly it is. It's no less for you and I to be an ambassador for God's kingdom, for his word. He wants to speak his word through us. And remember, Jesus said of himself, he came to give life and life to the full. He came so that the deaf would hear, the dumb would speak, the lame would walk, those with infirmities would be healed. Those with evil spirits would find freedom from those bondages. That life would be made renewed and full again. That the values of the kingdom would be disseminated throughout this earth through you and me as his ambassadors, having faith in what God has said. Again, in our world today, so often we might read the scriptures or hear someone speak a message or read a book about the Christian life, and we might say, well, that sounds pretty good, but I'm not going to believe that until I feel it here or until it somehow makes sense to me. Again, that's not the role of an ambassador. Our job is to decide what we believe, and it's not our job to decide what we believe and think. Our job is to learn and discern what our King thinks and then come into agreement with him, as I mentioned earlier. What is God's program? What is God's desire? And we enter into that. We may not fully understand it, but this is a life of faith, isn't it? We're to live by faith, not by sight. We may not understand everything perfectly, but I'll tell you something. Little children don't understand everything perfectly, but they believe. So when the Word of God says, pray for the sick and they're taught to do that, guess what happens? They pray for the sick. And God heals through them. Because children are not secondary citizens of God's kingdom. They are primary citizens, just like anyone else that's a part of the body of Christ. This is a sobering verse. And we'll close with this sobering verse. But take it to heart. Matthew 7, 21. Matthew 7, 21. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. That requires us to simply understand that God is God. He's king, we're not. And his kingdom is his kingdom. We don't make the rules, but we trust and believe that everything God says in his word, all of his ways are good, and they're sound, and they're beneficial. And if we choose to enter into his ways with obedience, guess what? Things go relatively well for us. And when we choose to disagree and to step outside of God's will, and it's not so much time is spent on, well, what is God's will? What is God's will for my life? And we fret and fret. Primarily, his will is already discussed. It's already laid out. Here's how you live. Oh, and by the way, I've given you gifts and abilities and tendencies in life. Chase those down. I want to give you the delights of your heart. Figure out who you are and then live true to yourself and enjoy life. Enjoy serving within the realm of my kingdom. But if we find it difficult to obey in the little things that seem little to us, maybe big to us, but they're little things, where's our heart with the King? Where's our allegiance? Do we worship ourselves more than the King? And how's that working for you, if that's the case? Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. One of the most basic and fundamental things that Jesus has taught us is to go and make disciples, go into all the world, regardless of race, color, creed, and make disciples. And as you do so, baptize them. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's foundational for discipleship. And we're thrilled today that there are four individuals that have said, I'm going to obey. I want to be part of God's kingdom, and I want to serve him fully. That's the first step, is to obey the Lord and go through the waters of baptism. And so this morning, in a few moments, we're going to hear some testimonies, I believe. And we're going to see God at work. And so as we hear testimonies and see people share their conviction through the waters of baptism, let your heart be full. And let the King speak to you this morning about your own obedience in life to the known will of God and those specific things, too, that he has shared with you. We don't have a part in his kingdom if we're simply not willing to obey him. That makes sense, doesn't it? It makes sense. And God wants it to make sense. And he wants us. He so desires for us to know more and more and more about his kingdom here on earth. He's not hiding things from us. He's hiding things for us. So that when we earnestly seek him with desire, he will reveal the kingdom to us. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning that you've invited us to share in your kingdom. And I pray that you would just open up understanding, open up desire. Above all, Heavenly Father, I pray that the object of our desire in this whole discussion about the kingdom is to grow more and more in love and closer to the King. God, just make yourself known to us. Help us to be intimate with you and your ways so that we can enjoy the benefits of your kingdom and live those things out in such a fashion that others will see what it means to be a part of your kingdom. We pray, Father, for your blessing on those being baptized in a few moments. Speak to each one of our hearts and encourage them as they share their testimonies. Father, just do a new work of grace in their lives. Bless them and encourage them and cause this house to grow as people come to know Jesus as their King, as their Savior, and as your kingdom flourishes here amongst us and wherever we have influence, wherever we go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now I'm going to ask you all to stand. And as the baptism candidates go and prepare themselves for the baptism, would you just take a few moments, and we didn't do the greeting earlier, but shake one another's hands and bless each other in the name of Jesus. Just take a few moments with each other.